Welcome to Blokes Don't Talk. I'm your host, Braden Anderson. Each week, we talk to an everyday man. It might be the guy over the fence. It might be your son, your uncle, your neighbor. It might just be a guy that's been through something similar to you, but you've never met. We talk about life's ups and downs and all things men's mental health. It's raw, honest, and unfiltered. And fuck me, isn't that a sexy thing in today's climate? You can find us on all good podcast platforms or connect to our social community via Facebook or Instagram. Please enjoy the episode. That's almost too professional. I think I'm going to have to change it back.
Yeah, it's a little bit heavy.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable listening to myself not slur shit or fucking mumble through things.
It's all right.
Cool interview today that I've been looking forward to, and had been a little bit in the works, I guess.
It's been a while.
Has been a while. So really lovely guy that have similar interests to him. We've always had a bit of a good banter, I guess, when we've bumped into each other, and then Ryan put up a really heartfelt post, intentionally vulnerable post on socials around men's mental health, and just opening a conversation with his own peer group that was really beautifully written, and that resonated with me, obviously being into this sort of shit, and I suppose that sort of sparked the conversation, and that's probably a conversation that's gone on for close to 2 months now, and finally getting to catch up, man. So thank Absolutely. You so much.
No, not a problem. Thanks for having me here, man.
Very good, brother. So introduce yourself, man. What's your name? Where were you born? How old are you?
Ryan Maidon. I'm 22. I was born in Melbourne, up in Epping. Been a ride. That's for sure.
Good part of the world, Epping.
Yeah, up in northern suburbs. And then, I was born at Epping Hospital, but lived in Preston for like real early part of my life, then moved up to Reservoir. Went to school up there till I was 10.
I think did I tell you that I went to Latrobe Bundoora, man? So that was
no shit.
That was all my jam for sort of my first four adult years out in the real world.
Yeah. So I don't know whether you know, but Kingsbury Primary School, like just
right,
just there. Like that's where I went to primary school for like 5-6 years.
Good part of the world.
Unreal.
Good part of the world. So how the fuck do you end up in Gippsland?
So, as you probably well know, it's a bit how you going up there. from my understanding, like I haven't gone too in depth with the rentals about it, but from what I know, basically wanted a better upbringing for me and my little brother. He's 18.
Yeah.
Close to 19. So more so just wanted a better upbringing.
Yeah.
Like I was 10, he was 6, and like there was shit going around just like around Reservoir, and I'm pretty sure it just kind of sparked it, like fuck.
Yeah, so if you're unfamiliar with that part of the world, maybe take a flight when the world opens back up and spend a Friday or Saturday night at Bell Street Macca's or something and acquaint yourself with it.
Like just the outer north. Plenty Road fucking junction down in Preston, just stand there for 4 hours and just it opens your mind up to the world and what it can be. But how you going? Absolutely.
So when did you move up here?
2008, late 2008. And just like absolute first thing I got into, sport, like from the get-go.
What school did you jump into up here?
Bairnsdale West.
Yeah.
In Bairnsdale.
I went there for prep?
Yeah, absolutely. So I went there for the last little section of grade 5 and grade 6. That was good. Like completely different demographic, right? So it was an eye-opener for me, like jumping into something completely new as a pretty vulnerable 10-year-old, just starting to come to puberty and just, yeah.
So for those Metro listeners, I guess, particularly from Melbourne, obviously, you know, huge European influence in that out north aspect of Melbourne, and then you move up to Bairnsdale, and it is the most Anglo-Saxon heavy region of planet Earth, I feel like. Absolutely. Bairnsdale West, great little primary school, and then Seco after that,
yeah, man.
High school across the road. So, you know, there's a strong Gunakunai and Koori population in our neck of the woods, and other than that, it's pretty bloody white and bland. So it was coming from the, you know, the cultural melting pot that is the out of northern Melbourne suburbs, it would have been a bit of a culture shock.
Oh, it threw me in a spin, man. It was unreal. I could not believe it. But, like, embraced it wholeheartedly. Like, no doubt. It was for that section of my life, give major credit to my parents, because that shaped that. I'm fucking chuffed that it happened, 100%. For me, I'm a little brother, just seeing, like, the way that we grew up and who we grew up around and, I don't know, just having that freedom. Like, you do shit around here that you just, like, most definitely cannot by any chance unless you've got grandparents in the sticks or some shit like that, like, where they've got an old farm and you can just go out and do shit. Like, here, you've got, like, I don't know, 6-7 mates at school and, like, 3 of them will have a farm.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a given.
If you're in, you know, there's not too many opportunities to go fishing, ride a quad bike, shoot a gun on Bell Street Maccas, there's plenty plenty of opportunity, but the variety of living that you can do in East Gippsland is pretty incredible.
Absolutely. Great part of the world.
So just the four of you, family structure-wise, come from?
Absolutely. So, yeah, two parents and older brother. I've got an older brother, half-brother.
Yeah.
He'd be like 30. So, like, a bit of an age difference between...
If you cannot say that, like, he's basically dead, that would be fucking
fantastic. No.
It's not that old.
He's cool. Casey's cool. So, he's just a bit older. He's got a couple of kids. He's moved up to, I think, Ulladulla now. He's up there doing his own thing. He's cool. But predominantly for my life, from, like, I think it was, like, 8 onwards, just us four.
Yeah, yep. Okay, so I cut you short before when you were saying about diving into sports once you got up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Take us through that, what that looked like year-round.
So, like, early on, it was cricket in the summer, footy in the winter, you know, as you do in Gippsland. Like, it's the two sports.
Yep.
As a young'un, doing that shit was, year-round. And then... as I progressed through, it was just, going through the motions, I guess. And then Turk, shout out to Turk at Lindeno Footy Club at that time. And then at Are You Fit Gym, he introduced me to the great world of boxing. It was real eye-opener for me. And actually, kudos to my dad as well, because... pretty well the way that it worked was my old boy was coaching Turk's son in footy. So then Turk would coach me in boxing, if you see where I'm going with that. Yeah.
Absolutely. So continue that shout out, Turk Carroll, what's his gym within, but what's his boxing?
East Coast.
Boxing. So Turk Carroll would very comfortably be in the top small handful of boxing coaches outside the metro area in Australia and as good as any inside metro area. Very generous man that spends a lot of his life working in local Indigenous projects to get the kids in school, get the kids in sport, and does a lot for the broader community top bloke. So just to add to that, shout out there, mate. Sorry to cut you off.
No, he's a fucking great man. Like, he's a top bloke. And, like, with him being around the footy club as well, like, he was the senior footy coach out at Lindeno as well. So, like, me growing up being, you know, 14 in a boxing world with him, and then I'd go to footy training as a 16-year-old. Like, I'm skipping a couple of years here, but nothing really happened in between there. With Turk just being around, he's hands down, like, shaped me in that early years. And I don't think he realises it, because I don't think I've given him the kudos for it, but here's the opportunity, because he really did shape me as that young kid, all those people out at Are You Fit Gym in East Coast and out at Lyndon O Footy Club and Merley Cricket Club as well. Massive help just shaping the kid.
Fantastic. And pretty renowned culture at those three facilities as well.
Absolutely.
As we've, I guess, unfortunately seen with the cricket club this week, with passing of a young man from my football club and that cricket club I think Lyndon O Football Club, pretty renowned for their culture, and success speaks for itself. But I think they were very close to first, if not first, to reach out to Stratford Football Club and not just express condolences, but see if there was anything they could do. Some very good humans out there. Yeah. So, any other hobbies growing up, mate?
To be quite honest, not really. It was pretty well from a young age that's all I really wanted to do. Like, I always played sport. It was just something that I did. And until I did find other hobbies, when I started becoming an adult, seeing the big open world and how many opportunities you genuinely do have, even like in East Gippsland, when there really isn't too much going on, but there's still something going on. Absolutely. Like, just, yeah, going out, trying new things, not being scared to try new things. Yeah, parents helped me with that as well. Just being completely open and just, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
It's, even more so, I think, than when I grew up. And I certainly felt very privileged to grow up in East Gippsland, but, you know, you're really not missing out on much here. There's plenty you can do that you can't do in the city, and you've kind of got enough access to fill the void on anything that you might wish to pursue that you need to be close to the city for.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm 100% with that.
So career as an adult, what's work been so far?
Man, I've done so much. Like it hasn't been volume-wise, but just that whole thing of, you know, just trying new stuff. Like KFC and Macca's I've worked at. I've done concreting, did a bit of boiler making, waiting at restaurants, bartender, and, you know, obviously now at Morelli's Furniture.
Where's that, mate? You might want to give that a shout out.
In sale. Coming down and see the boys. You know, if you want money for that advertising, just go straight to the big man. He'll know what to do. Right, yeah.
I was just thinking that these chairs would look good if they were like club Chesterfield or something as we sit here. But I might need to get this on SEN before he'll listen to it. So we might be safe for now.
Yeah, it's pretty well all he listens to. Imagine being in a truck with him all day.
I know.
It's unreal.
SEN or Sky News. We might be safe now. ABC, it's just Gippsland. You or me. Obviously, you don't have any legitimate children running around at this stage. Or
not that I know of.
That we're paying for. So,
not at all.
Relationship status, man, just bacheloring at the moment.
Single. Any ladies listening?
Oh. Yeah. And they're probably already tuned in after they see the episode photo, and he's about six foot four, so he's definitely a swipe right, this fella.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, man, that's most of the setup, the basics that is Ryan. So we'll take a break and get into the deeper shit.
Beautiful, man.
And now a word from our sponsor. Nah, just fucking with you guys. We're never gonna monetize this. This is your resource, and blokes, this round's on me. As we move into the next section of this conversation, we're going to be asking some pretty real questions. We're going to take things a level deeper. It'll be raw, but hopefully we'll come up with some tips and techniques that might help some fellas out there get through a bit. If what we discuss today raises some emotions for you, either from something you've got through in the past or something you're currently dealing with, discuss it with someone in your life you trust. If someone isn't immediately available, or if you're quite anxious about the feelings that you uncover, call Lifeline Australia.
They're available 24/7. They care and they're very professional. 13, 11, 14. Alternately, have the chat with your GP. Discuss going on a mental health plan if you're having a rough time. There's no shame in it. Get a little bit of counselling. Get yourself travelling in the right direction. If the voice in our head gets a little bit negative, it doesn't magically get better. We need to introduce a professional. Someone who has a bit of rationality. Someone who has a bit of positivity. Somebody who can help us not just survive, but thrive. We need you, fellas, and we want to see the best of you.
Alrighty, refreshed my drink and back with this big handsome fuck up. So we'll get into the more interesting stuff. Not that it's not interesting to hear the normal stuff about Ryan, but we'll crack on, bro. So
for sure.
Deep end, obviously. What do you reckon is the most challenging thing, hardest thing life's thrown at you?
I was thinking about this on the way over. I've been extremely fortunate in what's going on in my life, where there's been nothing that's put me in a pit, if you'd want to put it that way. If I'm gonna point one out from memory, it would be when I very first moved down to Bairnsdale. Not many people would know, but my parents broke up for, I think it was like a year and a half, something like that. So Dad moved out, went on a farm, like 10Ks out of Bairnsdale. Nice joint, whatever. I was still living with Mum at home where we still live. Yes, I live at home. But for 18 months of... like, this was 2 months after we moved to Bairnsdale. And
like
then
the whole world turned upside down.
Yeah, exactly. Like, parents just broke up and it was just travelling between the two, having to be around Mum at that time when she was in an emotional state, as you would be. And I can appreciate it more now being an adult. You can see your parents as adults, not just as parents. You can see them as genuine people.
As human.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Just looking back on it and, yeah, seeing the way that she dealt with it herself, because obviously she didn't have the support network of me being older or my little brother being older or anything like that. Like, she'd go to work and she worked, you know, pretty flat out. It was heartbreaking, man.
And so you, doing my maths, which I ain't that good at anymore, but we're talking like 10, 11?
Yeah, exactly right. So, just before I turned 11 is what I pretty vividly remember, all the way up until I was, 12. So for 18, and then like even when they got back together, it was like, what the fuck? It was like, yeah. It was just crazy. It was so hard to wrap my head around as a kid who's just moved to this new town and, you know, completely split apart and then somehow just, like, mended together.
Yeah.
Back then I didn't realise it, and I haven't really gone into much explanation with my parents about it because I just don't want to.
As in you're not entirely full bottle on how it is that things got fixed?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. I'm happy with things just being the way they are. Like, they're both as happy as I can ever remember them being now. Like, they're both chuffed with each other, chuffed with the way that life's going and ticking through, and that's all I can really ask. Like, as long as they're both chuffed and over the moon, I'm cool.
It's interesting, man. It's kind of like, this might be a stretch, but me and my other half, when we moved home for me, moved to Victoria, we, you know, had a period of time where
things didn't click at all. And it's almost like, you know, we had an amazing friend network in WA, so it was this broader, bigger picture where everything kind of made sense and was easy. But moving can do that. It's almost like childhood sweethearts that get to mid-20s and realize they're very different people, sort of thing. When you take people entirely out of context, out of the life you used to living as you four in the northern suburbs and doing what you do each day, can be fucking challenge reassessing whether that was you and whether that was the lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly right. And like, it's still tricky for me to put together now because like, I'm still a 22-year-old that lives at home. like that complete change of scenery. I can only imagine what it'd do to your mind and the way that it'd feel, like genuinely through your whole body when, yeah, it shit just gets escalated for, yeah.
So this, cut me off if this is prying, as I feel like it might be from the way you've described you interacting with when they got back together. But
for sure.
So kind of suddenly things are okay. Obviously, you don't see a lot of what's going on that's behind the doors, so to speak. But so it was relatively messy-ish, unamicable when it happened?
No. No, it wasn't like that, no. It was more just so... This is from what I can remember. It was sudden. It was just so quick. Like, we had only just moved to Bairnsdale. And then, like, I'm pretty sure I had just finished, like, my first term at Bairnsdale West. And then, all of a sudden, I've got to travel to two houses. Like, it just threw me in a loop. And for 18 months. And then, all of a sudden, we're all together again. It was just so, yeah, I still can't put it in words. It was just so different. And, yeah, I remember going up to mates, like, as a 10-year-old, like, man, my parents broke up. What the fuck am I going to do? Like,
yeah.
What's going on? And then they were just looking at me like, what do you mean? Like, my parents are broken up. Because, like, other people have experienced it.
Yeah.
And they just, like, deal with it. Pretty well.
It seems like a really hard age to have done that as well, because I was just thinking, so I went to Nagel in year 8 randomly. So that was fucking hard because everyone had already been friends for that year and was established. So I was always going to be, you know, for the next 5 years, I was a new kid basically.
Yeah.
And relatively shortly after that, maybe what's probably actually the year after, my parents split. So it was kind of challenging, I guess, because, you've got two main aspects of your life that there's a degree of uncertainty to. But for me, I kind of feel like doing that 13, 14 is a hell of a lot different to doing that 10. Like 13, 14, you're kind of starting to understand what you are and aren't capable of in the world, whereas 10, you only just become your own human and living life and loving what you do when it's going normal and to plan.
Exactly. Exactly right. No, you're on the money, 100%. Yeah. It was such a weird time. And again, I'm pretty sure my parents will probably end up listening to this. So they'll probably come out and tell me that some of this stuff's wrong. But this is just from memory.
Oh, we all have a different interaction with what's going on. You know, you can get 10 people in a room to tell an entirely honest account of something that's happened and the relative subconscious biases, shall we say, in terms of what about it was important to them will change the way they tell the story. And I mean,
exactly
right. You're not really claiming to know a hell of a lot about it, to be fair.
No,
so
exactly right. Exactly.
I certainly
right.
don't think you've misrepresented mum and dad.
I'm still not 100% sure about it. But I just remember being that time in my life, I was just like this angry, like start at puberty, just ball of a wreck. And I was ready to cut loose. Absolutely. Back then, that was just, it was tumultuous.
Can imagine, man. And
hard not to take to school, but it's probably even more evidence as to why sport was such an important outlet for you.
Exactly right. That's what I mean by, you know, just being in a sporting environment truly, truly changed me. Absolutely. From, you know, being a 8-year-old out at Glenroy Footy Club when I was playing there, and Glenroy Cricket Club, all the way up through, you know, just being in a team environment, and even, you know, with boxing being an individual sport, you've still got a team behind you, as you well know with fighting, 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, if you fucking suck when you're in the ring, you feel pretty alone. It's pretty hard to hide there, but
when you're lying on the ground. Not much.
Other than that 10 minutes of the process, it's absolutely a massive team environment and usually pretty amicable even with the other side of things once it's said and done.
Absolutely.
Flipping the script, man, what would you say is the best that life has dropped at your door, so to speak? What's the best thing that's happened to you in this ride?
I'm also look at this as not the... The one thing that I take for granted, which, you know, I see, is the amount of opportunities I've been able to have to try so many different things. Like, flat out, just the amount of, you know, it's not a stage, Mom. Like, just the amount of actual stages I've had through my life. Like, it's crazy. Like, even now, like, I'm just this... I'm a 22-year-old who doesn't go out and drink. Like, I just work and I go home and just do not much. Like, I don't even play sport anymore. Like, that's completely gone. Like, but I'm enjoying myself.
Good luck this year with the sport.
Okay. Yeah, but it's just the being able to assert myself enough to be able to just try and know whether I've got a passion for it. That's probably my best moment, is just being able to have the courage to go out and just like, all right, I'm going to give this a crack. If it doesn't work out, that's cool. I might have a dip at it again later, but I'm cool with it for now. And that's pretty well across the board with everything that I've done. I'm genuinely happy with everything that I've been able to try. Some stuff has stuck, some of it hasn't, and I'm cool with letting it slide. Absolutely.
I love that. And that's probably, I know you started that story, Glenroy and the Lux, but it's probably one of the unspoken tangibles of Gippsland, and even East Gippsland, is the opportunity to do things and to, you know, do them at full scope. You know, obviously, man, you have sports, so but kind of the whole region is on steroids. If you want to learn how to do outdoors, you shouldn't go hunting or whatever. It's basically Eden, you know. If you want to do winter sports, the snowfields are an hour and a half away. If you want to do fishing, if you want to do surfing, if you want to play sport, there's probably a reasonable standard of competition that you can enjoy a sport in front of a bloody reasonable crowd, considering that we live remote, and like you said about the stages, there's a very genuine opportunity to try everything and also be recognized if it sticks, like you said.
Exactly right. It's about living, not just being alive. Absolutely. Especially being here. You have to realize the opportunity that you're given while living in such a good part of the world. And just being able to take every bit of your life that gets thrown at you and just like, yeah, I'm going to go at this. If it doesn't work, I'm cool. But if it does, let's keep going with it. Let's see where we can go.
I love it, man. And I think, you know, you helped me work out some things in my own head. I find it very hard to articulate with how easy it is to build a life in Perth and, you know, how geographically stunning the place is, and the weather's amazing, and there's a lot of money around the place, and whatever else. For whatever reason, I never stopped longing to move back to Gippsland. There's something about it, and that's a big part of it, definitely there, that that community aspect and that opportunity
to try without fear and receive recognition if you land, like you said. So
absolutely, absolutely.
Love that, man. Again, flipping the coin, but it's also the last of the difficult stuff. what would you say is the worst you've put out there, if you can identify something? What was when didn't you meet the Ryan bar and were pretty embarrassed by yourself?
I could go on about this for ages, man. Like that's what I mean. Like, you can fuck up that many times, and it's about how you handle it yourself. Like, everyone's brains work differently. We both know that 100%. If you're the type of guy that has to succeed and you're only going to do things that you know that you're going to succeed at, then it's tough. It's going to be tough. But the way that personally that I look at it, I'm like mediocre at everything that I do. Like, there's not much that I'm great at, but I'm okay at a lot of things. And I'm shit at a lot of things too. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, like, I don't even know what I could. Like, there's so many different things. Like, to, I remember one night when I was a bartender, I had to change a keg, and it was during service, and got covered and covered about three tables in just pure foam. And it was just like that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, I fucked up, but like, I had a team behind me and they were all right. They're like, this shit happens. You've only been working here for like a month. Like, it's all good. It's all good. And like, the patrons weren't that bad. Given the circumstances, they just got drenched. Like, they were pretty cool. But like, there's plenty of different times where it's happened. And, you know, I'm okay with just copping it on the chin. Absolutely.
I love it. And specific to that example, I remember a Friday night at the Dogs, like mid 2 hour pot happy hour and yeah, meat raffles and everything. I ran in to change a keg and I didn't pull the gas off on the coupling before I put on the new one. So I got it 2/3 on and just fucking coated myself and half of the meat trays with some draft. And I got away with it. It was fucking... No cunt there to see me look like an absolute goose, but I slaughtered that room with beer. It was fantastically tragic.
Would have looked fucking awesome.
it was pretty special. All right, man. So, what's a time when you've exceeded your expectations? Then when have you met and then some your benchmark?
It's gonna sound corny as shit.
Good.
Good. All right. When I got the job at Morelli's, like 100% was not expecting it.
What's Morelli's again?
Morelli's Furniture, mate. Don't you know? We've got a big old billboard at Stratford Marine just here now. Come on through.
Don't miss out.
Don't miss out. No excuses. Be there. yeah. Like, I was juggling a couple of different things at that time. Working at Macca's, and I was doing a little bit of radio work, like not antenna work, I should say. So I was just chipping away at that, just doing my bit. And then, I don't know, I just saw it come up, so I thought, why not? Because it's something that ticked with me is sales, like just being able to converse with someone and to help them in the best possible way. It's not about, to me, it's not about profit or anything like that. It's purely about giving someone what they want. They've come into your shop, you're going to give them what they want, regardless. And I found that very interesting. So I saw this ad pop up and I thought, why not? I haven't really got anything to lose.
Did you not know the guys at all before?
I briefly knew Sam.
Yeah.
Briefly. I played a junior country week game and he umpired for like three overs and then gunned me LB and I was pretty upset. I was pretty mad at him and I still didn't forget him. I'm pretty sure he'll even tell anyone. It's like the first thing that I said to him when I rocked up at Morelli's, I was like, you remember me?
Remember that ball going the fine leg that you fired me for?
You gunned me 8 years ago, bud. I haven't forgot. You shouldn't have forgotten. But, just getting that job, purely and solely getting that job, did not expect it. And being able to learn as I'm going and having that team behind me with Nico, Sam and Mark as well. And
Mark barracks for Richmond, so he's pretty good at his job, but we won't give him any fucking credit.
Yeah, fuck that. Not a chance. I don't know what's going
on. What's the dream time score?
I was going to say, I don't know what's going on with the game tonight. So
I saw that Mozzie got the first goal, so that's all I could possibly expect as an Essendon supporter today.
What is happening? Let's have a look. Oh, I'm not going to hear the end of this. You're not going to like it.
Ouch, and it's done.
And that's done.
Yeah, all right. At least it's respectable.
Yeah, exactly. But, just, again, having a team behind you. Like, especially at Morelli's, it's a super family-orientated business, and it's everyone is in it together. You're not out competing against each other. If you need help, if you're feeling uncomfortable, there's always someone there.
And it shows, like, from a, you know, obviously, with your last part of the comment before I could catch these words out of my mouth, taking it to a deeper level there, but it shows that you have a lot of professional respect for each other there, in that you're all trying to be very competent and understand and service the customer as a priority there. It's very evident, and I think maybe it's a generational thing, although it's just the go-to thing for old people to blame young people for everything. But regardless of generations, I think it's really such a positive experience to deal with a salesperson, regardless of, you know, genre, industry, who knows their product and cares about what you're after and is there to service you. You know, you feel so good about spending your hard-earned money in that environment.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what we're all about. It's purely customer service. It's post-sales customer service. It's being able to help out the person in every possible way, even after they've purchased their item. And it resonates throughout even my life. Like, the way that I've changed even since just being at Morelli's is evident, 100%.
Yeah, totally understand, man. I always enjoy interacting with you gents. So, who would you identify as your hero, mate, or someone you admire the most?
Again, probably a corny one. My old boy, 100%. Being able to, you know, feed off him when I was younger, you know, I was young boy's dream of playing cricket for Australia or playing AFL or whatever it was. You know, him playing footy, him playing cricket helped it, you know, fueled my drive type thing. And then as he got that little bit older, he jumped into the coaching frame, and it was him helping out, you know, teams that I was playing in. But then it was when he wasn't coaching, it was helping me personally and just genuinely putting in time like he genuinely did, whether it was, you know, a couple of weeks out from you know, starting footy training, because there was like a 4-week window in between end of footy season, start of cricket season, or vice versa. We'd get into, you know, having a kicks, and then you'd get used to the feel of bouncing a footy and kicking a footy and or hitting a ball, you know, fielding, anything like that. So it was just getting me mentally ready for what's going to come, being proactive, not reactive in a way. And then, you know, as I get older, like I said before, it's understanding that your parents aren't just parents, they're people. So talking with my dad recently, just pretty well chatting shit, because my mum is a chef at the moment, so she works late night, so sometimes it is. And my little brother, he's got a girlfriend, he's been going out with her for like 4 or 5 years. So a lot of the time it's just me and the old boy home. And we'll just chat shit, basically. and really opens my eyes into, wow, this guy's like, he's just another guy. Like, he's not some world beater or anything like that. He's just a guy. He's one of the boys, basically. And the experiences that he's had and the journeys that he's had, and he's able to share it with me. And, you know, the one big thing that I've been able to take away from it is, like, he's always said to me, just be patient. Don't rush anything. There is absolutely no reason to rush anything, because what will come will be the best outcome, 100%. Whether you get in a mindset of whether it's shit or not, like, it could be going really, really, really bad. He said it'll always work out. Just put your head down, keep pushing, and it'll always turn out.
I love it, man. It gave me a bit of nostalgia listening to you say that. My dad was a pretty interesting cat, and I guess very up and down in reliability, shall we say. But for maybe year 10 and 11, I think I was staying in him with Bansdale, in Bansdale or Sarsfield specifically, while I was at Nagel. And the chats, like you said, about life after school with him, and even just him, who wasn't super sporty, rolling the arm over in the backyard for me to get mine at the start of the cricket season. Or kicking the footy around with me and that sort of stuff. And again, even though he wasn't particularly sporty, him giving what input he could with a compassion and an interest in me getting better and enjoying what I was at. You know, that's very, very spoilt as a young man, I think, to have a father who takes the time to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you're kind of the first guest in a while that's identified it as cliche as it sounds, that your dad's such a role model. So my old segue from this, that's probably applicable for the first time in a while, is how do you think you're tracking against what you find admirable about your old man?
I'm not a competitive. I'm not too competitive in that way. I feel like we've both had two completely different upbringings. You know, my old boy, he had a pretty rough upbringing in amongst, you know, Collingwood, Broadie, like, in amongst the rough parts. Had it tough and fought his way out and got to where he is. And I'm pretty sure with the way that, you know, his life was early on, that he most definitely didn't want the same thing for his kids. Whether that was the reason why we ended up moving to Bairnsdale or not, I have no idea. But, absolute kudos to him. Could not thank him enough for everything that he's showed me, and, you know, always had my back and always helped me along the way with everything that's going on, 100%.
Love it, man. Well, as your own man then, what would you say is most admirable about Ryan? What's your best quality, bro?
Honesty, 100%. What you see is what you get, 100%. I don't really hide anything, hence why I'm pretty open to do this. Like, there's nothing really to hide. There's no reason to hide, personally. Like, what's the point in not showing your true self? If people don't like it, get fucked pretty well. It's just, I don't know. There's no reason to hide your true self, especially as a young kid trying to make it, you know, in quotation marks, you know, trying to make it. Why would you lie about being a true self just so then you can get a taste of glory? Why not try and be a true self and get that taste of glory? Like, fuck that. Hiding who I am. There is absolutely no way. No way will I ever hide that. And it'll always be the case. It'll always be 100% true honesty. There's no point. There is absolutely no point in hiding anything about yourself. Being open and honest about everything that's going on, whether it, you know, it is mental health, or, you know, I've got a pretty good friendship group around me that's, you know, we're all pretty open with each other and we're able to have a chat about anything that's going on, and we can all converse with each other and feed off each other and be able to, yeah, really stick it out. Like, just, you know, recently, actually, was it in COVID? I'm not even sure. COVID's been going on for too long, man. I lose track. I really lose track.
It was definitely before it was illegal to catch up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, hold on, wait. But there were just a couple of us that caught up, and one of our mates was having a particularly, like, genuinely rough time mentally. And we all just caught up, and he vented. And it was, like, we all fed off each other as to help him with his mental side, because he had physical things that were tough, which fucked with his mental health, absolutely. But he's doing pretty well. Yeah, kudos to him too. He knows exactly who he is. And, yeah, he knows that he's still doing it tough-ish, but he knows that he's in a better place than he was on that night when we caught up.
I love that, man. Two things that come to mind as you were taking us through that. You know, whether I appear it or not, I'm always fairly self-conscious, I guess, and that's why, apart from that, it's not the niche that I've aimed for. It's also a representation of self that this platform has so little outward representation of me, shall we say. It's not about that, and it's also not what I'm comfortable with. But when I was listening to the intro, you know, I always cringe because I'm listening to myself talk, but I saw out of the corner of my eye when I said a bit about how attractive raw honesty is in a time of lots of bullshit, and I saw, like, this beautiful, genuine smile from you across the table out of the corner of my eye, and I just thought, you know, pull your head in. It's not time to be judging me. There's merit to this, and I love that. And the other thing it made me think of, it's really cool that you're like that as a relatively young dude, and obviously very well raised, that you've worked that out so quickly. Like, so much of my 20s spent keeping up with the Joneses, I guess, and being entirely disingenuous to the, you know, pretty tame country kid that I am at heart and enjoy being, I guess. So that's, for me, why I'm now like this, but it certainly was going through the fire of, you know, being dishonest to the way I'm built,
yeah,
that made me be comfortable being, you know, overtly honest, I guess. So that's awesome, man. I really love that.
No, absolutely. And it's, like, it's about, you know, finding out who you are, genuinely. And I'm extremely fortunate to have found out at, you know, such a young age. You know, I always think of it as being linked up to a position on a footy field or in a sporting environment. So, like, you're coming through and you're like, all right, what am I? All right, you're a taller, solid built guy who can run well. You can be a centre-half forward. You could probably defend well too. Let's chuck it at centre-half back. We'll try it a few different positions and you'll find your niche. And it's the same as in cricket. You know, you could be a batter, bowler, keeper, whatever. But it's purely trying everything, finding out who you are, and then sticking to who you are.
I love that, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So as an enigmatic forward, it's kind of right if I'm occasionally brilliant and then absolutely AWOL the rest of the time?
Well, yeah. Nah, it's fine.
So what is something you are looking forward to, dear sir? Or even just excited about?
End of COVID. Get this shit out of the fucking way just so I can go and see mates and just do stuff. I don't know. I was looking forward to going out and travelling this year and, you know, just seeing different parts and, you know, meeting different people. And
what were you thinking, travel perspective?
I didn't really have anything too set. Like, I know I wanted to go either west or north. I wasn't too set on what I wanted to do. I just wanted to see, like, how I did it, where I wanted to go. Nothing was set in stone with my ideas. It was just I wanted to experience something that I haven't. And, you know, being in East Gippsland's great and all, but going out and seeing some genuinely interesting, you know, stuff that really switches a switch in your brain. Like, it really, something that'll turn on something in your brain that'll just, it's so euphoric. And it's not something that I'm going out searching for, but it's just stumbling upon something. Yeah. I wasn't too set, but just seeing something, doing something. Even, you know, before COVID, my mates and I, we just getting out of the routine, you know, go through the week, work, weekend, catch up, you know, that sort of stuff. But even when we would catch up, it'd be something different every time. That's what was good. It was breaking it up with something that was just so extraordinary. That was just, it's going to resonate.
I love it, man. And I reckon, I don't know, maybe growing combination of general westernization, similarization of the travelable world, and also being stuck at home, and then the imminent likelihood that domestic travel will be the only option for a while. I think there's going to be such a boom in Australian tourism in the next couple of years. You're not the first person to, and I'm certainly a person in the same boat who's just like, geez, I'd love to. I haven't been to Northern Territory at all, so I'd really love to do that. Northwestern WA, I'd really love to do that. Cape York, you know, I think there's going to be a huge boom. And obviously we're in a region where people love to be outdoors regardless, and everyone's quite regularly, like I said, camping, fishing, hunting. I totally understand. I love a good road trip at the best of times, though. That absolutely resonates with me as well, man.
Absolutely. So like, something that's pretty heavy with me, like, I've not gone anywhere or done anything. Like, I've been to Canberra once. I've been to Marimbula once. I went to Eden on a cruise, like on a Bucks cruise. That was Jane, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Shout out. But
you go to Whalers and have a bit of a punt on the pokies?
Mate, we got wild at, I forgot what the pub name was, on the lower side of the hill.
Oh, it's something very generic, the commercial or something?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Extremely generic, but got very, very sideways.
Yeah.
Very interesting 4 days. But that's the only times I've been outside of Victoria. Like, I've not gone anywhere, and that's why with me, you know, now becoming an adult, it's something that I wanted to experience for myself, absolutely. Go out and see the big bad world and do what I wanted to with no eyes glazing over me, you know, society pressures or whatever it may be, whether it be in your hometown or someone that you might don't know down the line or anything like that. It's just going out and having fun.
I love it, man. But to be fair, you've also been to Bell and Plenty Street Maccas very early in life, so you've seen a little bit.
You don't really need to go out in the bush when you see those animals, I'll tell you what.
It is full on. So, not that it's very long ago for you, but 18-year-old Ryan, what's some advice you got for him?
Patience. It's something that I've only learnt recently.
And that's a big virtue that your dad pushes, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that's around me a lot. But I was a kid, so I ended up going to Cedar for year 12 and then the year just after. So I was
sports-focused college.
Yeah, exactly right. And I was trying to make it as a sports scientist, Bachelor of Sports Science, but that didn't turn out, so I was kind of on it. I was stuck pretty well. Just at the end of Cedar, I was working as a bartender. I broke my finger playing footy, so I was out of work because I had a splint on, can't work with beer, you know, that sort of stuff. So
where were you bartending?
Main hotel in Bairnsdale. So yeah, I was working there and obviously couldn't work for 6 weeks because I had a splint on. And then got my...
Was Stewie there when you were... Stewie Durham?
No. Mick McLean?
Okay, yep.
Yep. So I got out of the splint and I tried to call him, wouldn't go through. And I was like, what's going on? So I got my ex-girlfriend. She drove me down so that I could go in. Newspapers on all the windows. Closed down. I think from what I remember, he got done for bankruptcy because he wasn't paying staff and was behind on bills and whatever. So I was freshly out of school. Didn't get any uni. I didn't get accepted for uni at all. And I was unemployed. And it was a big old flip. For what I was used to. And I was like, fuck, what do I do? That was tough. But I was so determined to just get the absolute best, not just settle. So I was unemployed for 2 months looking for work and settled on Macca's. And I was there for another 2 years after that. And it was just purely because it was meant to be a stepping stone. and I guess when you look at the broad spectrum of life, that is a stepping stone. Like, that is tiny.
Money weighs the same.
Yeah, exactly right. And I don't know, I'm pretty fortunate with being able to come leaps and bounds from that moment as an 18-year-old. Just, yeah, pure patience. Another guy that I'm pretty big on is, you might know him, Gary V on
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah. Big entrepreneurs out in the big US. Really, really eye opening with the amount of information and wisdom that they've got in regards to young kids growing up and how much opportunity and time that you genuinely do have as, you know, a 22-year-old or an 18-year-old. Just settle down. You don't have to have the whole world in your hands right now. You can have a crumb and work your way up.
So if for whatever reason someone's listening to this that hasn't listened to Gary Vee, that's surprising for a start, but a big part of his message over the last 18 months that he puts out in content is for, I guess, people in their early 20s to make their own way in life because the parents or whoever it is whose expectations they are living in accordance with aren't going to be the ones to pay their bills, literal or emotional, later in life from not having done what they're passionate about, maybe. And he's very big on trying, you know, crash and burn as much as you can through your 20s to find what is for you and what there is a market for, because 30s, you know, very young in life these days and certainly in business. And yeah, that's it's pretty empowering for young people who feel like they have to keep up with the Joneses or meet parents' expectations or even have it all worked out too young on in life. He's puts out a lot of very positive content.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And it's massive when you've got a guy who's so big and then he's saying these things to his audience of just relax, settle down. Like, your parents don't really care about you. They don't give a fuck. They care about themselves and how people are going to view them because you're not making it. Like,
or if you've got parents as good as yours, they care about you being happy. So same.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. They've been, that's what I mean. Like, they've been huge in that retrospect. Big eye openers and absolutely blessed in that sense. But yeah, as an 18-year-old, patience. Just take your time, settle down. You don't have to go 100 miles an hour all the time. You can slow down every now and then.
I love it, man. I love it. A lot of what's what I'm looking for that doesn't sound condescending and does encapsulate enough. Probably maturity sounds maturity sounds cliched, shall we say, but there's a fair bit of foresight to that, maybe, to be only a couple of years onto that and to be, not so forgiving but so self-aware of your path. That's really cool, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much smashed through all the questions, bro. So as you know, man, always end this with opening the floor to you. You take the mic. So is there anything that you wanted us to back and forth over, or even just that you blatantly wanted to ask me? It's your show.
I've got a bit of a question. How are we solving COVID?
Is that really the question?
Absolutely. I want to hear your take on this. I want to hear your perspective on everything that's going on in the world, especially in Victoria right now, where Melbourne is a sole focus, particularly on this COVID going on in Australia as the whole country being a pure epicenter, but it's also resonating to, the rest of the state, however much more land there is, and as to why, it's affecting everyone else, and how, I'm not going to say long term because long term is a vaccine, but short term, by the end of the year, what are the leaps and bounds that can be taken?
Yeah, it's interesting, man, and I'm not sure that I'm as knowledgeable on the topic as I should be, but I also, from what I do know, don't know that I know the answer.
Like, an opinion doesn't hurt, Braden.
Get off the fence. Get off the fence, you fucking
you fence
shitting cunt. So what I'm torn between that some of it seems alarmist to me in that I feel like there's political games played on people's ignorance to how many people die every single day. So 2019 in Australia, I think 44 or 45 people died every single day of respiratory diseases. Now, obviously, the reporting of COVID, it is another member of the SARS family, like an influenza or common cold or something like that, which was the large proportion of what made up that 44 last year, along with ammonia and other congenital or aggressive forms of similar things. So when they say that we've unfortunately had 17 people die or whatever it is, sounds extreme. Everyone's a tragedy, but that 17 is a component of what was 44 every single day last year. And then the numbers, I guess, on infection rate also sound the same, but we don't have a baseline in terms of what that sounds like if we're talking about influenza A or similar. So for me, it feels like, there is political games played. Obviously we live in a state that's Labor and Federal is Liberal, so there's lots of back and forths there. Traditionally, governments that are in power during a crisis, particularly ones that, exaggerate those powers, always tend to remain in power come next election, because if nothing else, they've shown strength. And I think that timing has been good for Dan Andrews and certainly good for Scott Morrison. But, I also don't know the answer on the other, because I understand the maybe not the biology, so to speak, but I understand the maths of exhaustion of ECU resources and where it very clearly, if got out of hand, would result in a disproportionate death toll. So I really think we're just treading water,
yep,
catching sand in terms of trying to have it spread across Australia slowly.
Yep.
Slowly without killing the economy until there's a vaccine, which is probably also being hyped to some extent, because every other, let's say, mediumly aggressive virus of this nature that's come and gone has existed for some period of years before we've been, you know, on top enough of a vaccine to have an annual update.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, yeah, it's
a tricky subject.
It's a tricky subject. Like, politicians clearly use it for political gain. In so many regards, that, you know, the inter-party politics is ridiculous.
Politics.
Politicians leaving, like I said, using it for a leg up when they might have otherwise been in danger at the next election.
Absolutely.
And then there's also the aspect of, you know, Scott Morrison, you know, it feels like 12 years ago, but at the start of the year we had bushfires that were politicised as entirely due to climate change, and there was a lot of talk around where we were and weren't with our targets.
Yep.
I reckon our emissions would be doing pretty fucking well this year with no cars leaving houses and stuff. So there's lots of little things that aren't talked about in the background that probably have more bearing in the bigger picture than is discussed.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. Like, it's always tricky. Man, I hate political talk. It's so shit. I was talking about vaccine. I hate politicians. I hate them in the news. I hate them everywhere. They do my fucking head in.
Yeah.
Just plain and simply, like, just get off the news. Give me some good stuff.
And the sleight of hand stuff really annoys me as well. When people that are bored and sit at home and buy into follow the news too much, buy into it. So
yeah.
People that buy into the, it's this department's responsibility or it's that department's responsibility. And it's like, I'm not sure if you remember last fucking June or the June before that or the June before that, but you paid a tax bill for people to run this country. Well, you didn't pay a federal tax bill and a state tax bill and a federal health governance tax bill, and you know,
can you, it's ridiculous. Like, can you fathom how fucked up it would be, right? So, like, you've got people staying at home in Melbourne, they can't work, and you get that fucking board at home that you've got to flick on the TV. First thing that pops up on the TV is Dandrews or ScoMo talking about coronavirus with absolutely no hope in sight. Like, that would completely fuck with your head.
That's demoralising. I think if you can stay off news and, for what it's worth, stay off socials, it's terrible. I was trying to think who I was listening to recently, but someone was basically explaining that you think about how polarised things are at the moment in terms of suddenly everyone has a political opinion or,
exactly right,
or party. And the statistics on who is actually non-centralist, shall we say, so who is the sort of, say, quite left person that would always vote Greens or Labor, and say quite conservative, quite right person who would never not vote Liberal.
Yep.
Those respective groups of people make up something like 15 to 17% of the population.
Yep.
So that means that we've got high or mid 80% of people who judge issues on their merit, basically.
Yeah.
Who sit in the middle. And the news, because traditional media is dying to death, they're entirely playing the clickbait game, and
absolutely,
everything they put up is catered to that 15 to 17% one way or the other, whether it's Sky News to conservative older people, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah.
People that might share a Pauline Hanson quote every now and then, or people that watch The Project and, you know, think that the whole world's evil and that we need to save the planet real quick and that sort of stuff. Most people aren't either of those, but because it's extreme and it's clickbait, that's all there is in the media now. And then you see more and more polarization in social media, which just leads to a lot of negativity, because
exactly right,
people like a nice clean box of exactly how they should feel about every topic rather than thinking about it and having difficult conversations with people and
absolutely
being comfortable having a good connection to someone that thinks differently through them.
And with, you know, all this stuff going on, and I'm lucky enough where I've been able to work through this whole thing. I had 2 weeks off at the start when it very first hit, and we had to, you know, when that stage three very first hit, I had 2 weeks off. That's it. That's when I made that video. It was in April. It was like 4 months ago or something like that. So I've been fortunate enough But these poor fucks in Melbourne that have got to sit at home all day, find some amusement, some way, because someone somewhere ate a bat. Well,
allegedly.
That, yeah, allegedly. Like, that's going broad. But just, like, how much that would fuck with your mental health. Like, how much that would throw you well out of sync to the norm. Like, no one is in the norm now. Absolutely. And this is a particularly tough time for absolutely everyone that's involved. And I think, you know, seeing as though we're on the podcast and we're on men's mental health, there is absolutely no reason why you can't speak out, because everyone right now is going through the exact same thing.
Oh, absolutely. And I was speaking to a mate the other day who I think is actually in Bendigo, but they're obviously fairly locked down as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he has his ups and downs, and he reached out to me and said, oh, I'm really struggling without, I guess having my network available to me, because he's done quite well to get himself out of his shell recently. And I said, there's a couple of things I would think, and one's probably to not watch the news or get off socials for a start, other than to have specific conversations. You don't need to be scrolling the endless negativity loop. I said something cheeky to him, but it kind of resonated. I said that, and also now everyone's sort of in a situation you're familiar with in terms of when you've been lowest, the isolation and negativity and closing in that you know well, that you already know how to play that field. Now everyone else is out of their order and they're in your thing. So I said, you don't have to feel awkward about it now. That's everyone's norm. So
you're the vet. You're the one that knows.
You're the OG getting us through this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And I actually suggested to him, I said, so you can remove the anxiety of being what was a bit of a default position for you and not judge yourself and feel comfortable and try and slow life down. I said, why don't you fucking do something dumb like learn a language or learn guitar, I think is what he ended up going with, or do something where you've got slow progression, where there's no expectations, you're doing it for you, and you can just, smile when you get somewhere.
Time, man.
And he's,
time.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. So he sent me a message yesterday, maybe day before, these bought a guitar, and I was so chuffed. So I guess, whether that resonates for some people or not stuck in Melbourne,
yeah,
it's fucked, and it's fucked for everyone.
Absolutely.
So forgive yourself whatever judgments is going on. Slow things down, enjoy the slow time, because it won't last for forever.
Exactly.
And spoil yourself, take on a hobby that's just for you. It can be the dorkiest thing, as long as you're progressing and getting some satisfaction out of it. Go nuts.
Exactly right. And, you're in the same boat as me here. Both of our inboxes, messages are always open for anyone that just wants to have a chat about absolutely anything, whether it is your mental health that's going on during this time or whether it's anything else that's going on in your life. It's never a bad thing to speak out and just talk shit with someone else.
And there's also a blueprint out there is probably the way I like to put it. So, as Ryan's probably experienced many times, but certainly when he did that video, the amount of people that come out of the woodwork to reach out to you just by feeling heard or feeling normal.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it may be. So anything shit that you're going through, there's someone out there that has and has found a way through and is very happy now that they did find a way through. So the more people that you open up the conversation door to, so to speak, the more likely you are to find that person that has a story that resonates with you that can be your own way out.
My ears are always on, man. I'm always listening to anyone, absolutely anyone. No niches.
What about Richmond supporters?
Fuck Richmond. fuck Richmond. Fuck you, Don supporters too.
Hey. Hey, we suffer enough, eh?
No, I'm a Collingwood supporter, mate. It's all right. I completely understand where.
Yeah, let's go for a hit of tennis afterwards, shall we?
Fuck you, Bucks.
That was good. That's good. Yeah, good. All right, brother. Much love. We will leave it there.
Of course,
everyone listening, I hope you really enjoyed and real privilege to have someone relatively young who's so self-aware and so selfless in much of what he does. So thanks again, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, man.
Blokes, thanks again for tuning in. Really hope you got something out of that. start having those conversations with your mates, with your family, with a mental health professional if you need to. There's absolutely no shame in it. If you want to reach out to us or follow along, we're on Facebook or Instagram under Blokes Don't Talk. And to listen, we're available on all your good podcast platforms. Share it with a mate. Even if you're not quite sure, worst he can do is tell you he's not that interested. Might come back to you in a month or two and have really got something out of it. Thanks again. Talk next week.